Hey everybody, if you want to tell the world something or sell the world something, head on over to Squarespace because they're going to help you build the website of your dreams. Say you want to sell some custom merch. Well, you can set up your online store. Whether you sell physical, digital, or service products, Squarespace has the tools you need to start selling online. So go to squarespace.com/stuff right now and you will face a free trial. And when you get ready to launch, use our offer code STUFF and then you'll save 10% off your first purchase of a website or domain. How could you go wrong with Squarespace? Brought to you by the Capital One Venture X card. Earn unlimited 2x miles on everything you buy and turn everyday purchases into extraordinary trips. Plus, receive premium travel benefits like access to over 1,300 airport lounges and a $300 annual credit for bookings through Capital One Travel. Unlock a whole new world of travel with the Capital One Venture X card. What's in your wallet? Terms apply. Lounge access is subject to change. See CapitalOne.com for details.
Brought to you by the reinvented 2012 Camry. It's ready. Are you? Welcome to Stuff You Should Know from HowStuffWorks.com.
Hey, and welcome to the podcast. I'm Josh Clark. There's Charles W. Chuck Bryant. That makes this Stuff You Should Know. Right, Chuck?
Yeah.
Yeah?
Jerry, just I love it when like we get last-second instructions.
Yeah, and they don't make any sense.
Just save it for the show, guys.
Right, or show that picture on the podcast, the audio podcast.
Oh, goodness. How are you, sir?
I'm fine. It's by all rights Friday, but it's actually Thursday. But it's almost Memorial Day.
Yeah, and we're not, are you coming in tomorrow at all? No?
I'm not comfortable saying either way.
Okay. Well, I guess that'll be a surprise.
I don't want to get in trouble.
Well, I'm not.
I'm still scared of the man. I know you're not, but you're all like, hey, look at me. I'm 40. I make my own decisions.
I'm not 40.
Yeah. So, Chuck, you're a George Carlin fan, right?
Yeah, the late George Carlin.
Yes, the late.
R.I.P.
Always had the bummer, don't you?
Yeah.
The late George Carlin. You couldn't be like, George Carlin, he's the greatest stand-up comedian ever.
When he was alive,
he
was.
The worm food George Carlin.
The dearly departed. Yes, I like him. Why?
I have an obscure stand-up bit that I'll bet you haven't heard of that is apropos of our topic today.
Let's hear it.
So George Carlin had a bit about flamethrowers.
I never heard that one.
He said that the very presence of flamethrowers, and I'm paraphrasing.
Sure.
The very presence of flamethrowers means that at some point, sometime, someone said to himself, you know, there's a bunch of people over there that I'd like to set on fire, but they're too far away for me to get the job done.
Right.
I wish there was something that I could use to throw flames on them.
Uh-huh.
And as a result, we now have the flamethrower.
Yeah.
Which is kind of crazy.
When you think about it that way, it is pretty interesting.
It is. And when you start to really look into flamethrowers, you realize just how horrific the acts that humans inflict on other humans can be.
Yeah.
It's pretty awful stuff, actually.
Yeah, actually all kinds of modern weaponry. I know my brother-in-law's in the Marines. He told me about this, I think it's called a flechette, some sort of bomb that, like, explodes above people and sends thousands of, like, razor blades shooting out.
What?
Yeah. I think it's mainly used for clearing, like, jungle. But,
yeah.
I can't
clearing
remember.
Jungle of enemy combatants.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
So some sicko thought that up.
Yeah. We're like, what, one step away from the alien weapons in District 9.
Yeah.
Where people just blow up in an almost cartoonish fashion.
Right.
Yeah. It's coming 2015.
Sure. The atomizer or something they'll call it.
Yeah. What's odd is that first person that George Carlin, envisions, actually lived a lot longer ago than you would think.
I was shocked.
I was as well.
Fifth century BC?
5th century BC, man.
Right. It was a flamethrower. It was a very crude, vulgar, if you will, flamethrower. it was a long tube, sort of like a blowgun, and they filled it with solid stuff like hot coal and sulfur.
Mm-hmm. And went,
yeah. Ideally, you don't suck in. That would be bad.
No, I was thinking that, too. Like, you have to suck in the breath before you put the tube to your mouth, or else
right.
You're in big trouble. Although, that's the case with any blowgun, right?
Sure.
Yeah. Did you ever make those when you were a kid?
No, I never did. Right. I was too busy burning stuff.
you could have done both, apparently.
Yeah, true. Yeah. So, yeah, they would shoot, I guess, hot coal or sulfur out at their enemy combatant.
Right.
Instead of a flame, per se.
Yeah. Which I guess ultimately it would bounce off of their arm and they'd be like, ah, it burns.
Right.
And then they'd just tussle and leg wrestle and,
right.
and shake hands afterwards right. and go eat a boar. That's how that went down.
Life in 5th century BC with Josh.
But leave it to the Greeks, who were one of the brainiest, most thieving cultures of all time.
Oh, yeah.
They probably got this idea from the Chemites, frankly. But there's this stuff called Greek fire.
Right.
And actually, I can't say that the Greeks came up with it. It's called Greek fire, but the Byzantines, what we know as Turks, were most notorious for using this stuff.
Yeah, and that they think, they're not sure because it was a long time ago, it was a mixture of liquid petrol and sulfur and like stuff like quicklime.
Petrol.
Mm-hmm.
It's British for gas.
Yes, it is.
Yeah.
And they would pump it out, actually, from a reservoir through little narrow tubes, and like anything that goes from a big reservoir-type system to mm-hmm. a small, thin one, it would create pressure to shoot it out.
Right.
And then some unlucky guy would be the lighter at the end of it, and that would be like a real flamethrower, like dozens of feet.
Yeah, as we're going to learn, anybody whose job it was to deal with any aspect of flamethrowing was the unlucky guy.
Yeah, I would say so.
It's one of the more dangerous weapons you
sure.
can use.
Yeah.
But it was very effective. Number one, since it's oil-based, this Greek fire could be used in naval battles.
Yeah.
Because it would still burn even when it contacted the water.
Sure.
And so the Byzantines mounted it on their ships, these flamethrowers.
Yeah.
On their ships and on the city walls around Constantinople.
Yeah.
And basically just repelled people out of fear as much as, you know, burning them alive.
Yeah. Their enemies were really freaked out, I imagine, when they first saw, like, fire shooting at them.
Yes. Freaked out and intrigued.
Sure.
Especially in the case of the Chinese. See, what the Byzantines had was a single action pump.
You just did the foot pump with, like, you literally did the bellows.
Did you see that? Uh-huh. Do you see that, Jerry? I'm following your command.
Hey, everybody. It's time you heard about Squarespace. Squarespace has the tools you need to create and sell your own website. Whether it's an online course or custom merch, Squarespace has you covered.
That's right. Courses is a great program. You can start with a professional layout that fits your brand, upload video lessons to teach techniques and skills, and tailor your course with a powerful Fluid Engine editor.
That's right. With Fluid Engine, which is a next generation website design system, by the way, it's never been easier for anyone to unlock unbreakable creativity.
That's right. And don't forget the commerce side, because after that, you can charge a one-time fee or you can even sell a subscription.
Yeah. So turn your creativity into income with Squarespace courses. And right now, go to squarespace.com/stuff for a free trial. And when you're ready to launch, use offer code STUFF to save 10% off your first purchase of a website or domain. Squarespace. Hey, everybody, we're here to tell you about Viator, a tool that you can use to plan and book travel experiences around the world.
That's right. The Viator app and website make it easy to explore 300,000 plus travel experiences so you can discover what's out there no matter where you're traveling or what you're interested in.
Yep, Viator can help you plan better travel experiences. 300,000 plus travel experiences to choose from means you can plan something that everyone you're traveling with will enjoy.
That's right. You can also enjoy real traveler reviews to get insider information from people who've already been on the experience that you're considering. Plus, you get free cancellation that helps you plan for the unexpected.
Yeah, and Viator offers 24/7 customer service, so you know you'll get support at any hour if things aren't going as planned. So download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find the perfect travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
The Byzantines had a single action bellows pump,
right.
to where when you press down on the downstroke, it would push the liquid out, right?
Yes, so you get like a burst of fire, and that's it.
Right, because on the upstroke, nothing was happening except
right.
the bellows were filling back up with air to press down,
right.
to compress, right? The Chinese said, hey, that's really funny because we have a double action bellows.
Yeah.
To where you are compressing air, on the upstroke and the downstroke. So instead of your stupid little short burst of Greek fire, we have one long burst that
yeah.
just cuts you in half.
Yeah. Leave it to the Chinese. Make it all better.
The wheelbarrow, the kite, the hang glider, the flamethrower.
You name it.
Gunpowder.
Uh-huh.
And actually, gunpowder equaled the demise of flamethrowers for about 1,000 years, right?
Yeah, as soon as gunpowder came along, they were like, yeah, we're just chumps with fire when we can actually shoot a gun. That's the way of the future.
Right.
And it was, but so was the flamethrower, as it turns out.
Yeah, because it lay dormant for about 1,000 years. And then in World War One, actually right before World War One, the Germans, a very warlike state at the time, were they said, you know, what exactly can we add to our arsenal that is just totally scary and wildly destructive?
Yes.
Let's look back through the annals of you know, historic weaponry and find something. And they looked through and they said, the flamethrower.
Yeah, Richard Fielder is an engineer in 1901. They credit him with inventing it, but he clearly was using old technology as the initial idea, at least.
Right. It's a clever design, though, isn't it?
Yeah.
Because from this original design, there have been, you know, some polishing moments for the flamethrower over the years. But from that modern era, the right. design has remained relatively the same, right? It's like a three-tank design.
Yeah, the Flammenwerfer.
Is that what it's called?
Yeah.
Nice.
The Germans. That's what the Germans called
it. The Lederhosen?
Yeah. and it was, let's go ahead and explain how it works with
okay.
the tanks.
All right.
And this is the handheld flamethrower, which is the one that's, I guess, was most readily used in combat.
Yeah, and it's the one you see, like, a guy's wearing these tanks on his back, and he's got the rifle, and it's just...
Right.
Yeah.
So you got two outer tanks, and those are filled with the flammable fuel, oil-based petrol, if you will, like Greek fire.
Sure.
And then there's a center, smaller tank, which holds a compressed gas, like butane, and it would feed the gas through a pressure regulator connected to the tubes.
Right.
And you can... take it from here.
Well, this is why I think it's very clever. The butane served a dual purpose. One, it was compressed, so when you open the valve, it would push the liquid fuel out of the tanks into the tube and ultimately in the reservoir and the gun.
Yeah,
right?
The pressure regulator.
Right.
Is what they would switch on.
There is another tube that came directly out of the third tank that held the compressed gas like butane.
Yes.
And this tube went directly to the ignition valve.
Right.
Right?
So it served as the igniter later on.
Right. Because it was the butane that was actually burning.
Right.
When you open the ignition valve, mm-hmm. the butane flows to the end, mixes
right.
with air.
The end of the rifle.
Right.
Sure.
And then there's there's two triggers. There's the fuel release trigger, right?
Yes.
And then there's the ignition trigger. And the ignition
right.
trigger is basically you're operating a battery that operates a spark plug, sends a current, generates heat,
right.
ignites the butane. Now you have that little blue flame on the end.
Yeah, that's what you see in the movies. Like if you see them
like
traipsing around. Yeah, exactly. You see the little like 3-inch flame coming out the end.
Right. That's actually butane burning.
Right.
The fuel hasn't been released. The hellfire has not been opened yet or released yet. That's when you squeeze, what's the fuel release trigger?
Yes.
And then
then that pulls back a little valve plug because you obviously want it plugged or else you're going to have a big mess on your hands.
Yeah.
You'll be on fire very quickly.
Yeah.
So when you pull the fuel release trigger, it pulls the little valve plug back and then all the fuel supply suddenly rushes through to the tip of the gun where the flame is mm-hmm. and boom, there you go.
Yeah. And in 1942, the Army Chemical Warfare Service, I think is what it was called, they came up with a little something called napalm.
Yeah.
Which is ultimately a gasoline or petrol, mm-hmm. in the case of Chuck and our British friends, a gasoline thickening agent.
Right.
So with a slightly thickened gas,
uh-huh.
you have a longer range. It
right.
carries further because it has more mass or girth or whatever. There's less... There's less friction from the ground coming up, right?
Sure.
It also can be concentrated more easily.
Right.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
So basically that was one of those real big polishing moments. It went from just gas, which sprays, to thick gas, which sticks
yes.
and burns. It evaporates much less quickly, so it'll burn forever, and it's really difficult to put out. And if you get covered in it, you're entirely in trouble.
Yes, you're out of luck. And they would mount these on... Well, PT boats for one. Mm-hmm. Have you ever seen the videos of those things, like cruising down the river, shooting napalm into the forest?
Well, I see there's a picture of it in the article.
Yeah.
But I've never seen video of it.
It's pretty wicked.
Yeah.
They call them
Zippo flamethrowers, right?
Oh, really?
Because the ignition system failed so frequently. It's just like on a gas grill.
Would they have to light it with a Zippo?
With a Zippo.
You're kidding.
No.
And that's the other unlucky dude, I guess.
Yeah.
He'd be like, don't get too close to it with his hand.
Right. And so flamethrowers, it wasn't just some guy, you know, where it'd be like a bunch of infantry guys and then some guy on the end happened to grab the flamethrower that morning when they went out and it's just, you know.
Right, right.
They were part of a tactical strategy.
Yeah.
What would happen was riflemen would lay down cover fire.
Right.
Let's say you come to the mouth of a cave and there's a bunch of enemy combatants in there and they're shooting you and they have snipers and you're in big trouble.
Oh, yeah.
All your riflemen lay down fire on this cave so those guys can't move.
Cover fire.
Right. Mm-hmm. To allow your flamethrower man to get close.
Who is highly susceptible at this point because of what he's wearing on his back.
Yes. All it takes is one good shot to one of those tanks and that guy's gone.
Right. Or a bad shot. Just a shot.
Sure. Yeah. If you come in contact with it with the bullet.
Yes.
But so the flamethrower guy gets close. Basically cooks everybody. He burns everyone to death in that cave.
Yeah.
Right? That's his job.
Right.
And then after that, the munitions guys come in and explode the cave so it can never be used again.
And that's sayonara.
Yeah.
For cave dwellers.
Yes.
You know, speaking of a quick death, I've always heard when I was a kid, you know, that, you know, if you were a flamethrower in war, your average lifespan is like 30 seconds in combat.
Is that right?
Well, I always heard that, and I'd scoured the internet, and I could not find anything to verify that. But that's what I always heard. I thought that was an interesting tidbit.
I did read that most people who were flamethrower operators didn't survive.
I would imagine. It's a pretty dangerous thing to be toting around.
Yeah, and they also had assistants because the assistants would open and close the valves on the pack for them. That was their whole job.
It was always a two-man team.
So both of them would usually not make it.
I would, if I was the assistant, I would turn on his little valve and then run for cover and then run up and turn it off again.
Right.
And I'd probably be pretty unpopular with the flamethrower guy.
Probably. And then the flamethrower guy was well-liked because if you can take out an entire gun nest of people, then, you know, everybody's going to applaud you and clap and, you know, probably not get too close, though, because you're going to die eventually.
Yeah, I'd rather be a sniper, I think. That'd be, like, I play Call of Duty. I got a PS3 now. Did I tell you that?
No. Wow, Chuck.
It was given to me by my father-in-law.
You did tell me.
My step-father-in-law.
Okay.
And so I got just a couple of games. I'm not like a huge gamer at all. Like I think a Nintendo, like the first Nintendo was the last thing I actually owned.
Mm-hmm.
But I play Call of Duty now.
I like shooter games too.
It's pretty fun.
But you choose to be a sniper on that?
Well, no, there are just certain levels where you can be a sniper. Like you'll pick up a sniper gun if you want.
Gotcha.
And I always usually kind of just hang back and pick guys off.
Yeah. Especially guys with flamethrowers.
No. Here we go again. Two liberal peaceniks like us. When it comes to, like, this war stuff, we just get all giddy.
Well, it is. This one, for some reason, I was reading a passage about a flamethrower operator in World War II who, you know, received the Medal of Honor for invading a Japanese, I think they're called pillbox. It was a little gun nest.
And burning them all?
And burning them all alive. And, like, the guy wrote that there were some muffled screams and then silence.
Wow.
It's like, you know, being burned alive is pretty much everybody's worst death.
I would think so.
It's up there.
Well, we had Worst Way to Die. That's right up there.
And I think, if I remember correctly, burning to death is consistently the number one on, like, informal polls, right?
I imagine it's pretty painful.
And it happened a lot in World War One, Two, Vietnam.
Yeah.
I imagine Korea. This is a horrible weapon, you know?
Absolutely.
But you can find civilian applications for it, can't you?
Yeah, well, before we move on to that, we also need to say that they were on tanks as well. So it wasn't just boats. They used them on tanks. And the design was basically the same. You just had a lot more fuel, and you had, like, piston rotary pumps to get a lot more length on your shot.
Girth.
And girth.
Yeah, the backpack-mounted ones had a range of about 50 yards, right?
Or
46
so.
Meters.
That's a long way, though.
Yeah. That's half a football field. You don't have to get that close.
Sure.
Yeah.
I wonder if the first enemy that was like, he's got a flamethrower, but we're way too far away.
They were within like 45
yards. Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah, civilian applications. Forest firefighters.
Forest firefighters?
Is that how you say it?
I don't know.
they actually use these when they do the prescribed burning. Like sometimes they'll burn, well, not just the firefighters. They do prescribed burns anyway.
Sure.
And then sometimes the firefighters do that. They'll like burn a section to cut it off right there.
Right.
And that's what they do it with flamethrowers.
Yeah. Which actually kind of made me want to go get a job with the Forestry Service.
So you could burn things on purpose?
Well, with a flamethrower, yeah.
All right, game off. Let's pause here to talk more about Monopoly Go. Because in Monopoly Go, you can team up with your friends for timed tournaments where you work together to build up each other's boards. It's very nice.
That's right. And the more you win together, the more awesome prizes you unlock. And there's so much to get. I'm talking about unique stickers that you can trade with friends to complete albums for big prizes, cool new playing pieces to travel the boards with, or hilarious emojis for taunting friends when you smash their buildings or heist their vaults.
Plus, Monopoly Go feels new and exciting every day with constantly changing tournaments and challenges, like digging for treasure or a robot pachinko machine. And there's always new timed events that help you win big, like massive multipliers for everything you win or rent frenzies.
That's right. There's always something fun to discover in Monopoly Go. So get off the bench and go download it now for free on Google Play or the App Store. Game on. Hey, everyone. Homes.com knows having the right agent can make or break your home search. That's why they provide home shoppers with an agent directory that gives you a detailed look at each agent's experience, like the number of closed sales in a specific neighborhood, average price range, and more. It lets you easily connect with all the agents in the area you're searching so you can find the right agent with the right experience and ultimately the right home for you. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Did you hear about this car thing in South Africa? Theft deterrent system that burned you?
No.
Yeah, I don't think it's still around. This is like 12 years ago. And a South African man invented, it was called the Blaster. And basically it would shoot a man-high fireball, is what they called it.
What?
At you if you tried to break in to the car for a mere 3,900 rand, which is about $650.
$7.
And this was $1,998. Hmm. No, it was like $650.
Okay.
And it would squirt liquefied gas from a bottle in the trunk through two nozzles located under the front door. And the rub is you couldn't turn one on and turn one off. So if a guy was breaking in to like the driver's side door, it would still shoot fire out of the passenger side.
Wow.
To whomever might be walking by, unluckily on that side.
That's an invention that wasn't fully thought through.
I would think so, but apparently he sold a bunch of them at the time, and he said it's non-lethal, but it would definitely blind a person, is what he said, and keep them from stealing your car.
Yeah, because they can't see cars any longer.
Right, exactly.
That's terrible.
Yeah.
Way to go, South Africa. Lastly, Chuck, fire breathers, they're a form of, they follow the basic principles of flame throwing.
Yeah.
By drinking kerosene.
Yeah.
There you go. If you want to learn about fire breathers, we have an article on them. If you want to learn more about flamethrowers, and before you send us a listener mail, we are aware of flamethrower exhaust systems. We've both seen grease before.
Yeah.
You can type any word you want to into the handy search bar at howstuffworks.com. It'll yield something interesting, I guarantee you that. So, Chuck, listener mail?
Not quite.
Oh, okay.
Well, we got to do our quick plugs. We're going to do a little quicker this time, though, because we take like 10 minutes to do our New York plugs and everything.
New York. We're going to be at the Knitting Factory in Brooklyn on June 7th from 5:30 to 7:30. We're having a happy hour for Stuff You Should Know fans.
Come with your elbows prepared to be rubbed.
Stay Wednesday, June 9th for a trivia night to be determined.
Not TBD, my friend. We have a location and a time. It is at the Bell House in Brooklyn, New York. And show up at about 6:30, and trivia will start at 7. And this one is 18 and older. 18 to get in, 21 to drink. And if you're showing up alone, that's fine too. Just join up with some people when you're there and form a team and make some new friends. Come to one or both.
Yes. And then lastly, Coed and Kiva, man.
Yeah, Coed Cooperative for Education, who we went to Guatemala with. If you like their bag, which is a pretty cool bag, you can donate a measly $5 with your little cell phone there.
Yeah.
Text the word STUFF, STUFF, to 20222. And
text and data rates may apply, and it's going to be added, little $5 donation is going to be added to your bill.
Right. When you text stuff, you'll get a reply text saying, are you sure? And you just text back, yes. And there you go, $5
right.
to help out Guatemalan kids learn to read. And Kiva. We haven't thrown much love to our Kiva team lately, but we should because, you know, as everyone knows, we hit the $100,000 mark, right?
Oh, like nothing.
In March, I believe March 19th. And since then, our moderators on our Kiva team, Glenn and Sonia, threw down the gauntlet pretty much immediately and said, let's get to $250,000.
Yeah, man. That'd be awesome.
We are on track right now by Glenn and Sonia's estimate to hit the $200,000 mark around August 26th. Well, actually, we want to hit $250,000 around August 26th.
Is that the deal?
Yeah.
Okay.
So we need to step it up a little bit. If you want to join the Stuff You Should Know Kiva.org team, you can go to www.kiva.org/team/stuffyoushouldknow and sign up and get a warm feeling in your heart when you donate. And remember, this is micro-lending, so that money actually comes back to you. It's repaid.
Yeah, and if you have a cold heart, you can actually even pull your money back out and get it back if you want.
Yes.
But it's more fun to reloan.
It totally is.
It really is.
All right, so there you have it.
All right, so listener mail, my friend. I'm going to call this. I love this dude, and his name is Guy.
Okay.
And not as in, hey, Guy. His real name is Guy.
I gotcha.
Guy from San Francisco says, guys, just listen to the Art Theft podcast. And by the way, we do know about the Paris heist that just went down.
Yeah.
Pretty cool.
Yes.
Very intriguing for future monetary incentive. Neither here nor there. However, I have a little habit that I thought I might like to share that loosely pertains. I have never stolen art knowingly. However, I do frequently and I'm subjected to, I travel frequently and I'm subjected to much distasteful art. Guilty of being a budget traveler. So there's the rub. But to amuse myself, I like to take the horrible art off the wall, take it out of the glass and frame, and add the ever so slightest detail.
This guy's wonderful.
He does this in hotels. A chicken in the corner by the barn, a seagull flying over the crest of a wave, a beer bottle and fishing pole by the babbling brook. I do it in every hotel, motel, hotel, hostel, bungalow, you name it, I will stay there and I will change the art.
They have art in hostels now?
Eh, probably not. It makes me chuckle to think that maybe one day someone will be staring at an awful hotel painting and look closely and notice one of the gallant cowboys has a tin of skull by his left boot heel. So, if you stay in cheap hotels, keep your eyes out, people. You may have stayed where a guy from San Francisco has stayed. Just don't turn on the black light. That's all I have to say.
That's awesome. That is awesome, man. I love to hear people doing cool stuff.
Vandalism.
Yeah. But it's vandalism with like an eye toward coolness.
It's fundalism.
Right. Well, if you're a starving artist who shows your work at the Airport Hilton Conference Room, we want to hear from you. Just send us an email to stuffpodcast@howstuffworks.com.
For more on this and thousands of other topics, visit howstuffworks.com. Want more How Stuff Works? Check out our blogs on the HowStuffWorks.com homepage.
Brought to you by the reinvented 2012 Camry. It's ready. Are you?
Hey, everybody. Are you thirsty? Well, sip on pure, refreshing Richard's Rainwater. Yes, it's really rain. Caught clean before it hits the ground. Rain is naturally pure, so there's no need for harsh chemicals or additives. Richard's Rainwater contains no chlorine, no forever chemicals, no microplastics, no nothing. Enjoy the smooth, clean taste of Richard's still rainwater or the long-lasting and cold-pressured bubbles of Richard's sparkling rainwater. Visit richardsrainwater.com to find a retailer near you. That's richardsrainwater.com. Sip the sky. The first cell phone was demonstrated in 1973 by Martin Cooper. But you know what wasn't demonstrated? Shared plans. Over 50 years later, you can save on one line, thanks to Visible. It's true. So switch to Visible, the wireless company that makes wireless visible. Get a one-line plan with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon for just $25 a month, taxes and fees included. Switch now at Visible.com.
Monthly rate on the Visible plan. For data management practices and additional terms, visit visible.com.